Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Dark Realm. And this week, we are going to take a look at a dark realm that featured in our latest episode of The Dark Paranormal. We had one of our listeners send in their experiences at the hotel, and that inspired me to do this episode of Dark Realms on the same hotel, the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. And don't forget, if you're listening to this on the audio version, you can hop over on YouTube to @TheDarkParanormal, and you should be able to see this video for Dark Realms, which is much more interactive in terms of pictures and things such as that. And obviously, me. But if that's not what you want and you want to stick to the audio, by all means do. And at the same time, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can search for The Dark Paranormal Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But right now, let's jump in to our look at the dark realm of the Crescent Hotel. The Crescent Hotel was built in 1886 atop the Ozark Hillside in Eureka Springs. Former Arkansas governor Powell Clayton and other investors spent an astounding, for the time, $294,000 to create a luxury resort, hoping to bring the wealthy travelers to Eureka's famed Healing Spring. The Grand Hotel opened on the 20th of May, 1886, and quickly earned the nickname the Grand Old Lady of the Ozarks. After its initial heyday, the hotel struggled in the off-season, and in 1908, it was converted into the Crescent College and Conservatory for Young Women. The school operated for years, but closed during the Great Depression in 1934 due to financial hardship. And then the building sat largely unoccupied and empty, used occasionally as a summer hotel. In 1937, the building was purchased by a Dr. Norman Baker, a man who was a flamboyant charlatan with no medical license. He renamed the building the Baker Cancer Curing Hospital, claiming to have a miracle cure for cancer. Desperate and needy people from across the country would flock to this hospital because of these alleged miraculous cures. However, they were all quack remedies, injections of watermelon seed elixir, among other things. And brutal pseudo-treatments too. Many suffering men and women died under his care. So many that Baker built a morgue in the basement, and even a secret pain asylum wing. A place where dying patients' screams could be sealed away behind closed doors. In 1940, Baker was finally arrested for fraud and sent to prison. And his sham hospital closed down, thankfully. After his tenure at the hospital slash hotel, the hotel was reclaimed by new owners, reopening in 1946 as a hotel once again. And despite the regular cycles of neglect and renovation, including a major fire in 1967, the building endured. In 1997, Marty and Elise Roenick purchased the building and lovingly restored it back to its Gilded Age glory. Today, the 1886 Crescent Hotel and Spa operates both as a historic hotel and a visitor attraction. And rather than shy away from its ghostly reputation, it's embraced it, often calling itself and billing itself as America's most haunted hotel, offering tours that lead the brave guests up and down its old halls and even down into the old morgue. Having over 130 years of history, including time as a hospital, time as a college for women, there are certainly many legends within the Crescent Hotel. Legends of restless spirits, thus making it as well known for its ghosts as for its mountain views. But let's take a look at the spirits allegedly haunting the Crescent Hotel. And we'll start with Michael, the fallen stonemason. Now, Michael allegedly haunts room 218. The Irish stonemason died during the hotel's construction. In 1885, Michael tragically plunged from a high scaffold and fell to his death inside what would become room 218. Ever since, room 218 has been notorious as the Crescent's most active paranormal hotspot. Guests will often report inexplicable noises and movement in this room. In fact, the tales of Michael's restless spirit are so prevalent that room 218 is nicknamed Michael's room. And it's the hotel's most requested accommodation by ghost seekers. And visitors do report truly unnerving experiences linked to Michael. Phantom screams have been heard in the dead of night, as if replaying the young man's fall. Doors open and then slam shut of their own volition, sometimes so violently they can't be budged until the moment passes. Some witnesses have even claimed to see hands coming out of the bathroom mirror, gripping the thin air. Michael's ghost is said to be mischievous, but particularly attentive to women. Female guests have reported waking to a gentle touch on their cheek, only to find no one there, and an empty room around them. One hotel guest described the night in Michael's room as utterly terrifying. "I never want to go there again. It was awful, awful," she said of her stay. She went on to say that she felt nauseated even entering the hotel, and later was awakened by the sensation of someone grabbing her toes. Moments later, a disembodied male voice loudly cleared his throat, right next to her ear. Yet no physical person was in the room. Her companions were sound asleep across the room, and one of them did say they noted what they thought was an apparition circling the room during the night. This guest was so horrified she fled the hotel at first light. These first-hand accounts of Michael's ghost, throwing objects, tugging bedding, or audibly manifesting, have cemented his reputation as one of the Crescent's most formidable spirits. It's said that if Michael's antics become too frightening, firmly scolding him to stop it will put an end to his shenanigans. At least until the next time the lights flicker or the hands come through the mirror. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Next, let's take a look at Theodora, the cancer patient of room 419. She's often described as a polite but mysterious spirit that is linked to the hotel's hospital era. Legend holds that Theodora was a patient and, in some tellings, a nurse turned patient under Norman Baker's care in the late 1930s. She supposedly died in room 419 during the Baker hospital days, and her spirit never truly left. In life, Theodora may have come to the Crescent seeking a cancer cure. In death, she gives off a matron vibe and keeps the house in order, especially in her old room. Housekeepers and guests alike have encountered an apparition of an older woman, neatly dressed, fumbling for her keys outside room 419. If approached, she will kindly introduce herself as a cancer patient of Dr. Baker's. She then promptly will vanish into thin air. Theodora also has a reputation for tidiness, so those who stay in room 419 sometimes return to find their scattered clothes folded neatly, or their jewellery moved into a drawer, as if a meticulous person has come in to straighten their room in their absence. Theodora's spirit seems benign, even helpful, as long as you behave. And one couple learned that the hard way. After quarrelling in room 419, they came back to find their suitcases mysteriously packed and sitting by the door, as if someone wanted them out. Despite Theodora's prim demeanor, encounters with her can still be deeply unsettling, as you could imagine. Witnesses have felt an icy, invisible hand touch them in the dark of night. In one chilling account, a guest experienced pressure on her chest, all while sleeping in room 149, as if some unseen person had sat directly on top of her, then heard the slightest feminine voice whisper directly in her ear, "They told me not to talk," even though no one else was in the room. "I know I didn't dream this, it's too far-fetched for me to make up," insisted the guest afterwards. On another occasion, a paranormal investigator trying to contact Theodora said that the ghost spoke directly into her audio recorder, giving a curt warning, "I don't talk when they're around." These eerie communications would suggest that Theodora, whilst courteous, is somehow caught up in the otherworldly secrets of the hotel. Perhaps still under the watchful eye of Baker and his staff, even in death. Though she's often described as a kind and welcoming energy, Theodora's quiet interventions and ghostly whispers in the dark make it clear why she ranks amongst the Crescent's most infamous haunts. And finally, we will take a look at arguably the darkest spirit at the Crescent Hotel, that of Dr. Norman Baker, aka the Cruel Quack Doctor, the most infamous spirit said to lurk at the Crescent, the very man whose crimes cast a long dark shadow over the building. Baker was a vaudevillian magician turned doctor who ran the Crescent as the Cancer Hospital from 1937 to 1940. History will remember him as a charismatic con artist who preyed on the suffering. According to local lore, his ghost never left the scene of his misdeeds. Staff and guests have reported seeing a man in old-fashioned purple tailored suits, which was Baker's favorite color, roaming the hotel grounds and basement at night. The mere idea of Baker's spirit lingering is enough to send shivers through those who know the hotel's history. He seems to be the apparition that is most unfriendly, you might say, warns the Crescent guide, Erin Davison. And you don't want to provoke him. We know that much. He has been provoked in the past, and it didn't end well. This ominous warning is backed by accounts of frightening phenomena attributed to Baker's angry ghost. The hotel's night manager, for example, has received phone calls from empty rooms in the dead of night. Perhaps the restless doctor trying to reach out from beyond, on tours of the basement, morgue, once Baker's autopsy room. People sometimes glimpse a dapper figure in a white suit and top hat disappearing around corners. One visitor even swore, "I saw Norman Baker. White hair, blue eyes, white clothes. Standing in the hallway before fading away." Far more terrifying, however, are the hauntings linked to the tormented patients who suffered and died under Baker's care. Spectres that imply Baker's evil left a stain on the hotel. In the area that was once his pain asylum ward, guests occasionally wake up to a ghastly sight. A female apparition in a tattered white nightgown, missing her face from the nose down. Several honeymooning couples in what is now the hotel's penthouse, which is the same area that housed Baker's sickest patients, have opened their eyes at night to see this jawless woman standing silently at the foot of their bed. She doesn't do anything to hurt anyone. She's just there. You wake up, she's standing at the end of the bed, described one honeymooning couple. The apparition's lower face appears grotesquely disfigured or simply not there at all. Maybe a visual echo of the cancer that ravaged them, or the unspeakable surgeries she endured. Imagine the shock of encountering such a spectre in the darkness, an emaciated patient from the 1930s, gown stained, eyes hollow, reaching out silently for help, help that never came. Encounters with this faceless lady in white have left grown adults screaming in terror, and has cemented the Crescent's reputation as a hotbed of occult occurrences. Ghost tour regulars speculate she might be one of Baker's victims, eternally trapped in her last moments of agony. It's as if the entire building is imbued with the suffering he caused. It's little wonder that Baker's spectre and the dark paranormal activity surrounding his legacy is considered the most malevolent presence in America's most haunted hotel. As one local paranormal investigator put it, Baker was charismatic, enterprising, and evil. And the impressions of what he did are still very much here. The hauntings tied to him are a macabre reminder that the Crescent Hotel's past was not all gilded glamour, but also the makings of a very, very dark realm. Thank you for joining me for a look at this timeless, terrifying, but beautiful place. And be sure to join me next week for a step into another nightmare-inducing dark realm. Until then, stay safe and take care.